Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we finished off the chapter on the severe prohibition of giving false testimony. So currently we're doing all the chapters relating to the tongue and all those things that are prohibited. And in between, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought the exceptions also. So continuing with the things or the problems as far as the tongue is concerned, Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought a new chapter. Babu tahrimi la'ni insanin bi'aynihi aw dabbatin. The chapter on the prohibition of cursing a person or an animal. The chapter on the prohibition of cursing a person, a specific person, or cursing an animal. An Abi Zayd Thabit ibn al-Dhahak al-Ansari, wa huwa min ahli bay'ati al-Ridwan, qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حلف على يمين بملة غير الإسلام كاذبا متعمدا فهو كما قال ومن قتل نفسه بشيء عذب به يوم القيامة وليس على رجل نذر فيما لا يملكه ولعن المؤمن كقتله متفق عليه. حضرت أبو زيد ثابت ابن الضحاك الأنصاري رضي الله عنه, one of those who were present during the Bay'atul Ridwan, he narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who consciously takes a false oath that he will adopt a religion other than Islam, it will be as he said. As we are going on, we'll give explanation after this translation. So one who takes a false oath that he will adopt a religion other than Islam, or he will become a person of another religion other than Islam, it will be as he said. One who kills himself with something will be punished with it on the day of Qiyamah. A person does not have to fulfill an oath for something which he does not own. Cursing a believer is like killing him. So the first thing that we understand, that this narrator of the hadith, Abu Zayd Thabit ibn al-Dhahak al-Ansari, the hadith mentions that he was from the people of Bay'atul Ridwan. Bay'atul Ridwan took place at Hudaybiyah in the 6th year of Hijrah, when the Sahaba pledged to give their lives to avenge the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu. In other words, there was this false rumor going out that Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu was murdered. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left Hazrat Uthman with a duty to go and explain and talk and speak to the people of Makkah, the leaders of Makkah, etc. So message and news had come that these people that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu to speak to, the people there, the kuffar, had murdered Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. On that occasion, many sahaba, getting this news, they had pledged to avenge the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu at the hands, they had pledged at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Later it was eventually proven to be false. It was false, that message that had come. But Allah declared His pleasure in the Quran for those who participated in this pledge. Allah Ta'ala expressed His happiness and His pleasure with these Mubarak Jamaat that had pledged at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first thing the hadith is saying is, one who consciously take a false oath that he will adopt a religion other than Islam, it will be as he said. So what does this mean? Sometimes a person says that, or he takes an oath, that if I continue drinking, then I am a Christian, I am a Jew, I am a Hindu, or whatever he may say he may be. So now sometimes a person does it. It's one of two reasons. One of my explain is that one reason he does it, he's trying very, very hard to give up the habit of drinking. But he can't give up the habit of drinking. So to make it severe upon himself, he says, if I continue drinking, then I am a Jew or a Christian. In other words, this is the highest level that I can reach to try and stop myself from drinking. So if a person says it like that, and his intention is to try and give it up, that's his niyat. He genuinely wants to give up. Not a person should be saying this. At all times, this shouldn't be saying that I'll be a Jew or I'll be a Christian. That should never ever be. A person shouldn't make the statement. But here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that it will be as he says, as the person says. In other words, if he says that I'm a Christian, then that's what it is. If he says I'm a Jew, then that's what it is. So ulama give explanation difference. One is a person who doesn't know the masla, and he doesn't know the Masala, and his mind is, I will become a Christian, I will become a Jew, but I don't have a problem with it. I can't give this up, I'll become a Christian, he's happy with that. Then upon his saying, immediately this person will become a Christian or become a Jew. That's how serious it is to make the statement. And one is a person who knows the Masala. The Masala is that I won't become a Christian, I won't become a Jew, I'm not happy with this, becoming a Christian, happy becoming a Jew, but I'm saying it to try and stop myself from this evil. Although a person shouldn't be saying this, this is not correct at all, it's a guna to say it like this, but he doesn't become a Christian, he doesn't become a Jew, he doesn't become any other creed that he says he is besides Islam. So ulama explained that this is the difference. One is a person who doesn't know it and he's comfortable, he goes out of the fold of Islam. One is a person that knows the Masala. He knows the Masala, but he's not comfortable and not happy, then he doesn't go out of the fold of Islam. To go out of the fold of Islam, a person must say something against Islam, against Deen, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the person then goes out of the fold of Islam. So this is the first part of the hadith. One who consciously takes a false oath that he will adopt a religion other than Islam, it will be as he said. So the difference between the two, person who knows the Masala and he's not happy about it, then this person won't go out of the fold. Person doesn't know the Masala and he's comfortable, I'm okay, it's okay, whatever happens, I'm out of the fold. Then that person immediately goes out of the fold of Islam. The second part of the hadith, one who kills himself with something will be punished with it on the day of Qiyamah. Ulama explained that in Barzakh already, when a person goes into the Khabar, now that is Barzakh, so for example, he killed himself with a knife. He'll continue poking himself with a knife. He'll come right, poke himself again. Come right, poke himself again. He'll continue doing this until the day of Qiyamah. So this is the azab that Allah Ta'ala gives a person that commits suicide, that murders himself. So sometimes a person thinks that if I commit suicide, all my problems are over. That is the biggest start of all his problems. That suicide now, he'll continue repeating it. So that instrument that he used to kill himself, he'll continuously be using that instrument to kill himself. The next part of the hadith, a person does not have to fulfill an oath for something which he does not own. So if I take an oath, if my son gets better, say I got a son, Allah Ta'ala protect all of us children, protect all of us, person has got a son, I say my son gets better, then Hanif Bhai's car is in charity. I'm saying if my son gets better, then I give Hanif Bhai's car in charity. Now Hanif Bhai's car doesn't belong to me. So I can't say Hanif Bhai's car is in charity. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. A person is taking an oath and he takes an oath for something which he does not own. Then that does not become necessary to fulfill. So now my son becomes better. Maybe he's sick. He becomes better. Now I don't have to give Hanif Bhai's car in charity because that's my car. I can't say that in the first place. So there is no such thing as taking an oath. Fima la yamlik, in something that I do not own, a person does not own, he can't, so he does not have to fulfill an oath. Yes, if I say I'll give my car in charity, and now my son gets better, then I have to give it in charity. Why? Because I took an oath like that. So this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying. A person does not have to fulfill an oath for something which he does not own. And the last part of this hadith, cursing a believer is like killing him. In other words, cursing is something that is very serious, and this is the chapter that Imam Nawawi Rahmatullahi Alaihi has brought, the prohibition of cursing a person or cursing an animal. Allah Ta'ala protect us all. Cursing a believer is like likened to killing him, because one passes the verdict of him being perpetually wretched. A curse means that you are away, you are far away, or may you be far away from the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, may you be far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you are actually passing a verdict of that person being wretched, person being disliked, person being away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's the link between killing? In addition, killing one person deprives him of worldly bounties, while cursing a person seeks to deprive him of bounties in the year after by distancing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. So therefore there is a tashbih, there is a comparison that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has drawn in the last part of the hadith. Cursing a believer is like killing him. Killing him, you are distancing him from whatever enjoyment or bounties there may be of his in this world. That's we killing a person. But cursing a person is you are distancing him, you're separating him from the bounties of the year after by making dua that he be far away from the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.